Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason hanging out with you talking about the Titans and the Packers. Titans get the win last night at Lambeau Field in Green Bay. What a performance it was for the two-tone blue as they defeat the Packers 27-17. On the road to improve to 7-3 on the season. Mike Vrabel, the head coach, will hold a Zoom press conference coming up at the bottom of the hour. He will talk about all things with the game and, of course, have to address offensive coordinator Todd Downing, who was arrested and charged with DUI after the win last night when they returned to Nashville. So all that coming. But let's talk about the game. We spent the whole first hour taking your calls and texts on Todd Downing and great participation there. A lot of things that we still have to figure out and learn.
Mm-hmm.
But the game itself, the Titans look good. I mean, and from an offensive coordinator standpoint, it was the best game that Todd Downing's called, I think, in his career. You saw guys that, Derek, you have been saying need to be more involved in this offense. I mean, Derrick Henry had 28 carries for 87 yards, didn't break 100,
mm-hmm.
but still, you know, even though averaging 3.1 a carry, you'd like to see that go up. I thought he was obviously a big factor, had the touchdown, did have he had two passes.
Yeah.
One of them went touchdown to 42 pass. Yards.
Well, no, I'm saying he threw two passes.
I thought you meant, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he also caught two.
Yeah.
I was confused when they put that graphic up. The first guy since Walter Payton, it said two completions. I was like, do they mean two receptions? Mm-hmm. No, but they actually meant
he
two
did,
completions.
Because the end around thing to Burks was
right, and that
a pass.
Was what I was confused on. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. It was because it was like a little shuffle pass.
Yep, but that counts as a completion.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, he had the jump pass. Now,
his quarterback rating was 118.8, by the way. Passer rating, I should say. Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
But I'm going to say this. Todd Downing deserves a lot of credit mm-hmm. for the game that he called last night. But you can't tell me for 1 second that Vrabel didn't draw up the Henry play, because that was what Vrabel ran in New England for many, many years.
I'm sure
he had some influence.
I'm sure there was, you know, because head coaches, they have their set of plays. Like, okay, like it may not be what they put together, but it's like a play. Once the offensive coordinator is going over everything in the offseason, they're like, I really like that play. Keep that play in your back pocket. I really like that play, or I like that play. It's a handful of plays that head coaches like keep close to their vest, and then they bring them out at the right time. Downey, I want you to call this play to the jump pass with Derrick Henry. Call it right now. And it works. I mean, that play was designed flawless. I didn't know. I mean, if you're watching the game and the camera pans to Derrick Henry and then goes somewhere, it doesn't even know where the ball is.
Yeah.
That's how good of a play.
They really disguised
that well. That was. Absolutely. So he did I think, because a lot of times prior to this game, his first 15 plays was usually, it didn't involve his true playmakers other than Derrick Henry. It was like he was almost trying to get the ball to, you know, if Hollister's in there, I'm going to try to get the ball to Hollister or somebody else. Last night, he identified his playmakers. He identified them quickly. He identified Chigakonkwo. That first pass to Chigakonkwo, if it's thrown right on Chig as he passes that linebacker, that's a big game. He used Dontre Hilliard out the backfield. That play he called, it was almost like it was a flood play with Chigakonkwo to the flats at like 5 or 6 yards, and then Hilliard running a corner route in the red zone. It was perfect because now you put that corner in a position, he's either going to take Chig, take away the 5 or 6 yard gain, or he's going to take the post, or he's going to take the corner, which was Dontre Hilliard. Well, he chose to take Chigakonkwo. Why? Because if Chig catch that, he turns up the field. That corner's not tackling him.
Right.
So he chose to take Chig, and he left Dontre Hilliard wide open. And Ryan Tannehill put a perfect pass on him. He, Downing, used his playmakers for the first time all season. Not just one play. He used them throughout the game. Treylon Burks, Chigga Conquo, Dontrell Hilliard. He got Hooper the ball. You know, he set it up.
Yeah, how you feel about that, D-Mace?
I mean, Hooper did his job. Hooper did his job.
I mean,
finally.
He did his job. He made some, especially that second touchdown.
Like, the second touchdown.
They had to go back and look at it.
Exactly. And why did that play work? I told y'all. Why did it work? Who was on the field with them on that same side?
Chigga Conquo.
Chigga Conquo was the same guy that had caught a big pass. The pass he caught on the sideline is a hell of a catch, diving, trying to catch it, hell of a catch. But when you put someone like Chigga Conquo right next to Hooper, automatically it's going to open Hooper up. Why? Because Chig is the much faster, much dynamic player, so all attention is on Chig. Now Hooper's like, okay, I'm one-on-one. I can win one-on-one. If I'm Hooper again, I'm like, Chig needs to be in the game. Every time I'm in the game, Chig needs to be in the game because he opens things up for me.
Yeah. So I'm going to say this. I owe Ryan Tannehill an apology, and here's why. He played best game of the year that he's had last night. He looked awesome. And I wanted to recognize that. So at 9:40 p.m., I tweeted, Tannehill has looked very good tonight. At 9:41 p.m., he threw an interception.
But that was a good play by the defensive back.
It was. And I got destroyed for it. And so I quoted it, and I said, I take full responsibility for that pick. Ryan, I apologize to you, your family, and your fans. Followed by, I pulled at Jared Stillman. I can't believe it.
Well, I mean, you can't. That was the perfect defense for that play call. Ryan Tannehill did not see that cornerback because the cornerback was in the box, and he timed it perfectly.
Yeah.
As soon as Ryan Tannehill turned his back to the defense, that corner had dropped. He did not see him. He was zeroed in on Treylon Burks, who was wide open. Treylon was wide open coming across the middle of the field. He catches that. That might be a touchdown. But that safety peeled off. And he threw it right to him. So it's like one of those deals. It was the perfect defense for a perfect, almost perfect offensive call in that situation.
36-15. That is Ryan Tannehill's record since he became the starter. Mm-hmm. 36-15.
Yeah. Look, he looked great last night. And the fact that if you go and you watch the game and you look at the stats, Treylon Burks over 100 yards, including a 51-yarder.
Well, he got a little juice there at the end on that last play, which is fine.
But that's okay. But he looked good the whole game. He was targeted. He was targeted 8 times. He had 7 catches. A
major step forward. I was so excited to see him involved.
Yes.
And you can see the roles hopefully developing. Because you're right. Just his presence, he made a couple plays. Robert Woods was a little more open as a result. Westbrook Akine doesn't have to be the main guy. He can go back to being sort of the third guy.
He made some good catches.
Yes. He was involved. It was the perfect what you hoped that the offense would look like.
This is how they want when they came into the season, this is how they envisioned this offense to be.
Yep.
Robert Woods is our number two. Treylon Burks is our number one. And we have figured out who that role player.
Very encouraging.
Whether it's Nick Westbrook-Ikhine or Kyle Phillips, whoever's that third guy. But they envisioned this is how the offense would look. Treylon, big plays down the field, catching the ball, breaking tackles. And because of that, it opens up Robert Woods, who's your number. He's a number two. You can't force him and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine to be a number one because they're not. They need Treylon to be their number one. And last night, he was their number one.
So I'm going to ask you a question, and I don't want this to come – this is something that I thought of well before any of the news broke this morning. But I watched this game last night, and that looked like the offense that I wanted to see because they were using their playmakers, like you said – scheming guys open, Henry was working, everything looked great.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head I go, so you're going to tell me, and I understand Burks is back from injury, that Tannehill's feeling a little bit better, even though I could tell when he tried to run for it, he couldn't run. Mm-hmm. Like if he's healthy, he gets that first down.
He took a big hit, too. I was like,
he took a really big hit. But, like, if he's healthy, he gets that first down. I could tell that he was still a little limited. But I said to myself, are you telling me that all of a sudden a switch is flipped and the offense all of a sudden starts working? Or was there conversation with Vrabel and Downing and Tim Kelly? And was Tim Kelly a little more involved? Was Vrabel a little more involved in some of the game planning?
Why would you make that assumption? How do we know one way or the other?
I'm asking the question.
He's really asking the question.
I'm asking. But because
this is where I go back. Put the DUI aside.
The offense.
Let's put the DUI aside. But Todd Downing gets no benefit of the doubt for anything.
I just said he called the best game of his career.
I know, but we're assuming that it was because of something.
No, he's asking.
It couldn't be because.
I'm asking a question.
I'm just saying the guy gets trashed. He is the absolute whipping boy of everybody. The fire Downing.
Apparently, he got trashed last night, and that's why we're in the situation.
That's possible. That's possible. I said put that aside.
Chase, I know what you're saying.
Sorry, you kind of set me up for that.
I don't think it was like, okay, Tim Kelly, you need to be more, you know, a part of game planning this week.
Hearing this with Bowen last year? Once the defense started playing well, Jim Schwartz, he must have been doing stuff behind the scenes as Jim Schwartz. And maybe that was true.
Mm-hmm.
But for a while, Bowen didn't get any benefit of the doubt. Now, nobody questions anything that Bowen's doing. Fair?
Yeah, fair.
Right?
Well, I want to say this about Todd Downing in that offense last night. This is that looked like an NFL offense. That looked like an offense that can do something moving forward. If they stay healthy, and I truly mean this, if they stay healthy, they should be the favorite to win AFC. They should be.
And a few weeks ago, we would not have thought that, right?
Exactly. If they stay healthy and they continue sort of to keep this trend up, and it's hard to do, I know that. But if they stay healthy and keep this up, the balance and finding their playmakers, they should be the favorite to go to the Super Bowl in AFC. Because we've seen every other team. Yes, we've seen every other team now. We've seen them.
I'm not going to go as far as to say should, but I feel like
why shouldn't they?
A few weeks ago, I didn't think they could get to where they were last year. Now I'm like, well, if they keep getting better, maybe it's possible. A bye is not out of the question here because the Bills play in a tough division. The AFC East is going to be tough for a team to get a bye. Somebody's going to have to really jump in there. I think we would all made the assumption the Bills would run away with the AFC East after a few weeks. Now, I'm not sure they win that division. They could be playing in a wild card game.
The narrative now should be.
The text line likes my show.
The narrative now should be this, the national narrative. After seeing the Titans last night, they should go. Because we thought, listen, it's Buffalo and Kansas City. That's those two guys, those two teams will be fighting it out in the AFC Championship somehow, some way. After last night in the display that they put up, what they showed, I can't see why the Titans are not in a conversation now as, okay, this is three teams that have the potential to be in to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Because the Titans are, if the offense continues to go this way or show signs of getting better moving forward with that defense, why aren't they the favorites?
Okay, let's discuss that coming up next. I think that's a very good point. And I'll give you the odds from Superbook as well. You can weigh in on the Titans' win over the Packers, 615-737-1025. Chase Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Is it really fair to feel this way inside? Oh, someday somebody's going to make you want to turn around and say goodbye.
Chase Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase McKay, Willie Donick. Derek had to step out for a second. He'll be right back.
Come on.
Nick Keiser. This is good.
Give it up for this song. Give it up for Wilson Phillips. Love this song.
Love
all Wilson of you Phillips. Listening out there. If you've seen Bridesmaids, kind of brought Wilson Phillips back into the forefront. It's a classic.
Just
it's a feel-good song.
Just hold on
you just
for
gotta
one more
hold
day.
On. You got to hold on.
It's so good. And I feel like at the same time, we're educating Nick.
Not a ton, really. I already most of these that you sent me, Chase, I'm not going to I'm not going to, you know, scare everyone off away from us from listening. These are all great songs. I know most of them. Like, the list that you sent, I was like, okay, cool.
Do you listen to them?
Not avidly, no.
What do you listen to outside this radio station?
Do you really want to know?
Yes.
I listen to a lot of podcasts. I'm not a typical kid. I listen to a lot of podcasts.
I think we're asking about musical tastes.
Music.
Right?
Yeah, but really, I'm getting to that. Not a ton of music.
Well, I can tell by your bump music selection that that's true.
Yes, it is very true. But
maybe we just need to expand your horizons a little bit over time.
We're going to work on it. A little bit, for sure.
He's a project.
Most of the songs I grab are usually trending on things that I'm watching for the most part.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
It's just like we had to work with Ryan Porth on the musical on the movie library, right? He was very
thin. Yeah, and we still probably have to do that.
Still a work in progress, but there's been a little bit of growth there. Don't you think?
By the way, absolutely. He was at the game last night, and I said, hey, why don't you call in today?
Porth was at the game last night?
Yeah, he was in Lambeau. I said, why don't you call in today and talk about it?
Oh, at Lambeau last night. Okay.
I thought
you meant the Preds game.
No, he was at Lambeau. And I said, why don't you call in and talk about it? And he goes, well, I'm actually touring Lambeau at the time that I asked him for it, which is cool. Hmm. So, you know, that's awesome. The odds for the Titans on the Superbook Sportsbook app to win the AFC, +1250, tied with Cincinnati. The favorite still, Buffalo and Kansas City are tied at +220.
Mm-hmm.
Then Baltimore, +525. Miami, +875. And then it's Cincinnati and Tennessee.
I think the odds makers and the national media will be slow to give the Titans a lot of benefit of the doubt. By the way, we have a texter that says, let Nick be back in control of the music again. I guess they're not a Wilson Phillips fan.
What's wrong with Wilson Phillips?
They don't appreciate Wilson Phillips. Chase, I think the people understand.
Yeah, look, it's
Wilson Phillips on a Friday.
Diverse list.
Yeah. So I'm okay with it. But you agree with me? The national media is always slow to have the Titans be under consideration. I think sometimes they get labeled as sort of an overachieving team that's really not that good. I think you go back to the discussions we had a lot during the preseason when the national predictions came out,
right?
The national odds makers, they did not have the Titans on the radar. They gave them zero benefit of the doubt despite their winning platform the last few years, right? They've been a winning franchise. We just talked about Ryan Tannehill and his success since he's been the starter. That didn't mean anything for the preseason predictions. Almost everybody picked the Colts to win the division. The division.
Right.
And now we're talking about, are the Titans possibly getting back into true contender status?
I mean,
I was skeptical myself a few weeks ago. I just didn't know if the offense would be there. But I'm a little more optimistic now, especially after last night, seeing Burks take some steps forward.
That's big for them.
And that's what I think Mike Vrabel and the entire coaching staff deserves a lot of praise for, is they improve over the course of the season more often than not, despite huge injury issues. Now, Autry's hurt. I think the report this morning was not catastrophic. It looked like it could have been, right? When a guy caves in a leg like that, you worry about high ankle, you worry about knee. Apparently, it looks like the knee, but hopefully they escaped without losing him for the season kind of stuff. He may miss some time. Autry is such an important piece. Hopefully the extra rest, now that they have the long weekend, will help Simmons get closer. I thought Simmons was playing on one leg last night. They lost Fulton during the game, which was huge. They were able to finish without him. Hopefully the extra rest will benefit him. They need him. Like when you play the Bengals, when you play the Chargers, you need Christian Fulton in there. You need some of those pieces for the defense to maintain the excellence.
They're going to have to keep this going with the offense, though, for Cincinnati and then at Philadelphia. Those are going to be two tough matchups, because I think Ja'Marr Chase he could be back for the Bengals when they play. And then
it's going to be close.
Obviously, you got to go to Philly, and you know that A.J. Brown is going to be looking for blood as well. But my hope is that Tannehill is looking for blood against Cincinnati, that he wants to shut people up about that game. And I think that's a winnable game. It's at Nissan Stadium. I mean, it's a home game. But these next two are very, very important. Then you got Jacksonville Then you're at LA, then Houston, then Dallas, and then at Jacksonville to end the season. So I think they're very much in contention. They should be in contention. They should be noticed. There are things that I can't explain of why they are this way. But, I mean, look, they could be 9-1. They could also be, you know, 5-5.
6-5, 5-5. Yeah, that's the league. That's the NFL.
Yeah, especially this year. So, but it's Vrabel to me. Vrabel is where the credit has to go, that he just finds a way. And Danico Autry, the hope is that he's going to be available to you again at some point, that you get Jeffrey Simmons healthier, that Tannehill gets healthier. Because, again, I contend that he gets that first down last night, because I don't think that hit even happens if that ankle is not the way it is.
The thing that encourages me the most about the offense is you give me a healthy, and they even did it last year when Derrick Henry was out, but give me a really strong running team when the weather gets cold in December. I like where that's going to go. This team can run the ball. They're dedicated to running the ball. And if you load up to stop them, as long as the passing game's good enough to burn you, which they were last night, then you got a chance, especially with really good defense.
You know, we talk about odds and betting. I'll throw a shameless plug in here, Willie. You should check out the Music City Bets podcast that we've started with Jill Jelnick, Rick Merritt, and yours truly. Just go to thegamenashville.com. You can check it out. Three episodes in.
Very nice.
So a little shameless plug in there. Coming up next, you'll hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. He will address Todd Downing, I'm sure, in the win last night over Green Bay. That is all next here on Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason be back in just a second. Waiting on Mike Vrabel he's actually doing this via Zoom today. As he will jump in there, address the media. We know he's going to be asked about Todd Downing. I'm sure he's going to address that right away. Adam Schefter just tweeting out, NFL has been in contact with the Titans regarding the situation with Todd Downing, which now will be reviewed. All league and club personnel, including coaches, are subject to potential discipline when a violation is determined who have been committed. So that coming from Adam Schefter, as the Titans will be addressing this, and I'm getting the stop sign, but almost the go sign to potentially go to Mike Vrabel, and we will do that now.
It occurred earlier this morning with Todd Downing. I've spoken to Todd. I've spoken to Miss Amy. John and I have been in communication with her, with the league. The league has policies with regards to these incidents, and we'll make sure that the league has all the information that they need. I also know that you have many specific questions regarding the incident, but out of respect to the legal process, the process that the league has, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to answer many of those specific questions. I will say, however, that we all have a great responsibility as members of this community, as coaches and players of this organization, as fathers and husbands and teammates to make great decisions. And we understand that. And so I'll do my best to answer the questions that you have, but also out of respect to the situation, there's going to be some things that I'm not going to be able to talk about.
Teresa?
Mike, one question. There is availability for anyone on the team and in the organization that needs a ride to get a ride no matter what time of day it is, correct?
Yes, that's correct, Teresa. That's something that we had before I got here, and something that we continue to have. So, yes, that's provided through our ownership and the team.
John Glennon? Yeah, Mike, I know that you're somewhat limited in what you can say, but does the team or do you have any policy or plans in terms of discipline for Todd Downing, or is that strictly an NFL situation?
I think that we're working through all of that right now in our conversations that John and I have had, also between us, our president Burke, and I don't think that we're ready to comment on that, on what that may look like. Again, just remind everybody that the decisions that we have to make have to be great ones, and we'll continue to have conversations with the league and then also internally.
Terry?
Mike, don't know how much you can comment regarding this either, but with it being a legal matter, do you have to let does the league policy usually let the legal matter run its course before they institute any form of discipline?
Terry, I can't tell you that that's always been the case. I'm not very confident on that either way. I'm not sure how the league goes about that. We'll just comply with whatever that they ask us to do, and then we'll make a decision and figure out what's next.
Corey?
Hey, Mike, two things. You said you spoke to Todd. Number one, how is he? And number two, can you offer some clarity on what those league policies are?
Well, I have spoken to Todd. The league policies are that we're making sure that we're responsible and that we're making great decisions. We'll continue to work through the league with our actions and our behavior. The conversation between Todd and I is just like the rest of it with our staff and our players. Will remain with me, and I'll keep those between Todd and I.
Joe?
Coach, have you already talked to the team yet? And if not, how do you plan on addressing this with the rest of the team, especially with them kind of taking a break now before you guys regroup before Tuesday?
There's certain, players that, I reach out to after the game. Our players are off. And I'll make sure that it gets addressed when we get back in here. Still a lot of things that we're working through. And I know that, Joe, you spent a lot of time around us, so have a lot of you, other you guys. And, we'll try to we'll address it and we'll, we'll provide support where support is needed. And, we'll make sure that, just as always, that there's something that needs to be held accountable. We'll make sure that that person's held accountable, but we'll address it. Obviously, just haven't had a chance really to get the team together, and it's just the timing of it.
Chris Harris.
Hey, Mike, in your experience, both as a player and a coach in the NFL, how often is alcohol on a plane? And is there any regulation on how it's served or moderated or anything?
Well, I think a lot of these are specifics with regards to the incident. I think we're all gathering information right now, Chris. So I won't be able to comment specifically on this or what was in the past or other places that I've been.
Just as a quick follow, just in general, how, in your experience, how often has alcohol been on the plane?
Yeah. I know that these are some specific questions that I'm not going to be able to address at this time, just with regards to the league process and the legal process. And, very, very, very sensitive to the situation and making sure that we're doing everything that we can to provide great decisions and with ourselves and the community.
Gentry?
Yeah, Mike, just how discouraging is this for you after a pretty good win last night to be sitting here talking about this?
I don't think discouraging, Gentry. I don't want to try to give it an adjective. I don't. It's a part of, it's an incident that came up. It's something that we are going to take very seriously. We are going to gather all the information that we can, figure out what the next step is, and do our best to move forward. So I don't think discouraged, is something that I've thought about today.
Teresa?
I'm going to grind gears a little bit here, Mike, but to turn around on a short week and to find a way to win a road game in the fashion last night with the best offensive performance overall that this team's had this season, how nice is it to at least flip a page in that way to see so much contributions?
I'm extremely happy and proud of our players, Teresa. They came in Monday. They committed to telling their bodies and their minds that it was a Wednesday and Thursday, and they got to work. And I know that they played a physical game against Denver. They committed to putting the work in to preparing to go on the road and in a great environment. And I'm extremely happy and for them, I'm proud of them. And, our body language was amazing. Guys were into it. They were straining to get the first down and all the things that we talked about and the keys. And, it wasn't perfect. We had some three and outs and there was mistakes and, but guys didn't waver. And every time they needed to answer, they answered. So, I'm excited from to be able to move forward with that and show them, really what they can do.
Corey?
I'm sorry. I know you hate the injury questions, but Danico's been such a huge part of your football team. Is he going to miss time, or do you have an idea on where he's at?
I would expect, Corey, for there to be some time missed. I think that we really are lucky. I've seen Danico already today. So there may be some time missed, but, Nico usually finds a way to get back sooner rather than later.
Jim?
Mike, how'd you like your production, I guess, from your receiving core, from Traylon to Robert to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and how much of a jump should that give them confidence-wise moving forward?
Well, again, we all get confidence by repeated acts, repeated success. They've been working hard, and it was Ryan did a great job distributing the ball. He was very accurate last night. He had the one mistake, but was very accurate. We made some contested catches when it was zone. We caught it. We drop step. We got first downs. Hit some plays down the field. So there was really cool involvement from everybody. I thought Hoop had a great catch, contested catch on the sidelines. That he was close on the first down. They ended up making it short, but a lot of really good things. And they dropped Chig, and we found him, and he ran under that ball. So a lot of things to build on, but we'll just have to keep going.
Terry?
Mike, how big was it that a guy like Trey Avery, who's played very few snaps on the defense this year, was able to come in and late in the ball game when Christian went down and make two or three pretty good plays?
Yeah, it's just it's a testament to, the player specifically, but then, Anthony Midget, Scott Booker, Shane Bowen, making sure that these guys are ready to go. And making sure that they, can operate when they get in there in a pressure situation.
Sam?
Mike, just more specifically with Treylon, with all that he's been through in this rookie season, the ups and downs and then the injury, how, I guess, rewarding is it for you as his coach and for him to finally break a few of those big ones and have a big game in primetime?
It's rewarding. I think he's building a lot of trust in us and in who we are, and also understanding what this league is. This is a very unforgiving league. If you're not prepared physically and mentally, so hopefully, this is just a good reminder of what he can do when he's prepared. I told you that there were some mistakes during the week early on. And so I'm proud of the way that he responded, got those things corrected, and was able to go out there and help us win and have some success.
Chris Harris.
Mike, in your opinion, was this one of the better games that Ryan has had this season? He looked to be pretty much on point other than the one interception.
Yeah, he was accurate. Some times where the line allows to progress through, the first third down, he kind of works to the front side and then, sees Treylon kind of going through the middle and is able to come back and plant his feet and throw that ball. And so I thought that when the protection can hold up, you're able to progress through, and, Ryan was able to find some guys.
Kayla.
Hey, Coach. Pretty cool moment for Ben Jones there to be on the FaceTime after that win. I know, really tough for a guy like that to miss a game like that. Just your reaction to seeing that. And then also, what'd you think about Aaron Brewer coming in for him last night?
Yeah, I thought, you know how much Ben means to me personally and to this football team. We were in constant communication and, enjoyed seeing him. And I know he was obviously excited for his teammates. He'll do everything he can to get back and be with us on the field, but he's always with us in his spirit and his passion for life and passion for football and this team. I thought Brew really did a nice job, stepped in there and battled and did a nice job.
Buck?
Yeah, Mike, the penalty situation last night, relatively clean. How did you think that they performed from an operational standpoint?
The Titans or the officials?
The Titans.
The penalties on special teams, we talk about drive start, and that's not going to be good enough, Buck. We talked all week how we wanted to play with penalty-free aggression, and that's going to cost us. You can't start drives inside the 10-yard line, inside the 12-yard line. But all in all, I felt like we were able to play physical without fouling. We'll have to get the special teams things cleaned up and, go on the road and be able to work our cadence, and we got them to jump off sides. So I thought that there was a lot of positive things there.
John Glennon.
Yeah, Mike, a couple of the keys for you guys defensively over the last several weeks have been the sacks and picks. Didn't really have a lot necessarily in either of those departments last night, but what did you do well that you were still able to, contain that Green Bay offense pretty well?
Well, we were very competitive against the run. I think you give them a lot of credit. They put up some big games rushing the football. They come up with some creative schemes. Obviously, some good stuff in there that we had to get corrected on the sidelines that maybe we hadn't seen. And then we were okay. We didn't give up a ton of big plays. We were just good enough on third down to get off the field and get some stops when we needed it.
Jim Wyatt.
Mike, I'm just curious how we structure things now with a little bit of extra time and should the time, or does it make you hopeful that you'll be able to get some guys back for the Bengals game?
Yeah, I am hopeful. I'll go check on those guys here after this. Structure-wise, the players will be off. We'll be back in on Tuesday, Jimmy. We'll work Tuesday and Wednesday. I want to be able to give them Thursday to spend with their families or loved ones and then get back to work on Friday.
John Glennon?
Yeah, Mike, you know, a lot of times earlier in the season you talked about the X plays allowed and how significant they were. The other side of things last night, how important was it for your offense to kind of show that ability to hit those X plays, you know, especially in the passing game and to balance out the running game that you guys have?
Yeah, we've talked about it, to be able to, you know, put scoring drives together. You're going to have to hit some critical third downs. You're going to have to hit some X plays along the way. And that changes field position, changes momentum. So it was certainly welcome, you know, whether that's down the field or, you know, getting a guy on a screen. I thought the screen to Derek was great. And we'll have to keep working on trying to produce those.
All right, Coach, that's all of them.
There you go. That is Titans head coach Mike Vrabel addressing everything from Todd Downing to the game last night. We'll address that coming up next here on Chase Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I think that we're working through all of that right now in our conversations that John and I have had. So between us, you know, our president, Burke, and, you know, I don't think that we're ready to comment on that, on what that may look like. Again, just remind everybody that the decisions that we have to make have to be great ones, and we'll continue to have conversations with the league and then also internally.
Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Mike Vrabel addressing the Todd Downing situation. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason. And yes, some cars.
Yeah.
It was on my playlist.
D-Mace and I, when Elliot Friedman came on, Nick played one for the Top Gun soundtrack, and I asked, and by the way, it's Top Gun Maverick night coming up at Bridgestone Arena Monday night.
Nice.
And so we had a little fun conversation about Top Gun, and I said that was in the era where you still bought the cassette tape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had the cassette tape of the Cars' Heartbeat City. That's the name of the album from, you might think, what was it, 84?
Yeah.
So.
Real quick, and then we'll keep talking about this. Uh-huh. And welcome your calls on Mike Vrabel, because he went a little long, so kind of a short segment here. But I've been hard on Mike Vrabel before about, you know, he'll dodge some things that you can tell it's very Belichickian of him and guys that he's been around. But I thought he handled that the best he could handle it. He was asked some very good, fair questions by the media. And I think he answered them the best he could. He even gave the disclaimer at the beginning, look, there's going to be some that I can't answer because of the legal process. But my overall takeaway, and then we'll get into the game, my overall takeaway is he's upset with his offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And he should be. I mean, just putting yourself in that position. And,
yeah,
you know, they've had conversations. They're, you know, the process is ongoing right now. But I think that that was well done by him, and I think he handled it the best he could.
I thought he sounded very human, very serious. I thought he balanced. Look, he knows people are human, but he also knows that your health. I think he said, I didn't write the direct quote down, but you're held to a standard,
mm-hmm.
right? You have to make great decisions. And I know part of him really deep down inside must be furious because so many great things are going on for the team right now. And then you have that happen. So I did not get any sense. Remember, we were talking in the first hour mm-hmm. when all of this hit and there's a huge reaction. Okay, let's wait and see what we learn about some of the circumstances. We weren't going to learn all the circumstances, but what I could glean from what he said is this was not a, wow, he was really unfairly stopped or unfairly. It sounded like this was a legit, he made a bad decision. That was me reading between the lines. He is working through what the league's policy is, mm-hmm. how the leadership of the team, talking about the ownership on down, feels about that. He stopped short of what the punishment is going to be, but it sounds to me like there will be some consequences here. Did you get that feeling, D-Mace?
Yeah, I did. He's there's one thing coaches hate above all things is when your mess supersedes the team. They hate, especially in a situation like this where you come out and you're the primetime game and everything just come together. Like there couldn't have been it was almost like the perfect storm. Everything came together and your team was highlighted on national television and all this stuff that everyone's been saying about your team. Your offense is inept. You know, can Ryan Tannehill carry the team? All this stuff that was being said before this game all season. And then you get an opportunity to play on national television. After 2 weeks ago, they saw you lose versus Kansas City in a valiant effort, but your offense didn't play well. Granted, it didn't have its quarterback. But we get in a game on national television, and everything goes right. Everything. We are playing lights out. If no one ever saw the Titans passing game, they would think it was the number one passing team. They would think they were the number one passing team in the National Football League. That's how well things were going. And then the next morning, instead of the headlines reading, Nashville, the Titans go down to, well, go up to Lambeau in frigid weather and beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers and sit 7-3 in the AFC in a game behind Buffalo and Kansas City, and they could be on their way to getting the number one seed. Instead of that being written, it's the Titans offensive coordinator gets pulled over and taken to jail for DUI. Coaches hate that. If it was a player, coaches hate that. Why? Because your mess supersedes the team's success.
Right, because what have we been talking about most of the show? So that's the unfortunate part of it, for sure. Coming up next, we'll get into some other things he said about the game as a whole. Welcome your calls and texts as well at 615-737-1025. It's Chase Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.